the sayings of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, and Rachel was beautiful in form and beautiful in appearance. And Jacob loved Rachel. So why was it that Jacob found himself, after the 7 years of labor, which he worked so hard for the love of Rachel, why did he find himself with Leah? Seems terribly unfair, and we can see that the primary problem was indeed Laban. Now, in the actual historical sense, the problem was with Jacob. Later we hear about Jacob wrestling with a spirit and halting on his thigh, which represents that the Israelitish church never gained the wonderful love, conjugal love. And what's being represented here is that that Jacob was not in that affection. He loved Rachel, but he loved her in a way that was too external. Imagine, he took Leah, and then he accepted that he could work 7 more years and have Rachel as well. Jacob was a polygamist. He did not have conjugal love. And so in one sense, in the historical sense, the sense closest to the letter as well, what we are seeing here is the sad thing that it was not yet time for conjugal love to be restored. That the church that was going to be founded with Jacob did not accept conjugal love. And so he ended up with 2 wives instead of 1. But we also see something else in this story, which is taught to us in the Arcana Celestia in number 422. It says that Rachel, being weak-eyed, represented mere external truth that was not capable of understanding something internal, and represented the Israelitish church until the Lord came into the world. Whereas Rachel represented a delight in internal truths, even though they were yet in ignorance. And this represented the church was going to be established among the Gentiles and a few of the Israelites and Jews where the church was going to be established. And so we find that in the sense where the Lord is treated of and where Jacob represents the Lord, it represents his love first for the Jewish people, that there could be, if possible, a church established with them. But he was willing to accept Leah. He was willing to accept their mere obedience to the law and the command they had, and through that, some could be saved, many perhaps, if they were to obey the law for the Lord, even though they did not have conjugal love, even though they did not know about heaven, even though they had mere external truths, even though, as it said in the reading, they knew that they should worship the Lord, but they didn't know how to worship the Lord. Instead of being on their knees and praying and obeying the Lord and looking at that as worship, they would bring animals to be killed and sacrificed. And even though the Lord said, I would have mercy and not sacrifice, they did not understand that. Mercy was something fairly far from them often. And yet they were willing to sacrifice. At times, some of them even willing to sacrifice their children. They did not know how to love God. Even though they knew in a very natural way that they should. We often think that the natural truths are the practical truths, and the spiritual truths are lofty ideals that someday we will attain. But the truth of the matter is the opposite. The natural truths are general truths. They give us a basic framework. They tell us that we should love God and worship Him. They tell us that we should love the neighbor and serve Him. But they don't tell us how. It is in the spiritual truths that we actually learn how to actually love the neighbor and worship the Lord. And that is the point of this story. Leah has It says weak eyes. The word here is actually in the original language smooth. That means that what she saw was smooth or blurred. Could see the generals, but not the particulars. As it says, when people are in the mere generals, they can be led astray very easily. It'd be like coming up to somebody and knowing that it's someone, but not knowing who they are. Or probably more accurately, knowing who they are, but not seeing their face well enough to know what they're feeling, to see what mood they're in. In other words, you have the general, you know who they are, you know something about them, but you don't really know them internally. And so internal truths help us see far more precisely how we can love the neighbor, how we can help the poor, how we can worship the Lord. And in this story, which relates to marriage, it also, these internal truths, those wonderful truths that we find, especially in the book Conjugal Love, tell us how we should love our spouse, our husband or wife. Because these truths give us, you might call them singulars or details. They tell you how. When we read it, a lot of times it looks like mere generals. It looks like mere universals that are talking about you should love the good, or love is eternal, or shun wandering lust is an offense to the nostrils. And they seem like generals, but actually these truths are very specific. And so we find that in this story, in the sense that relates to our own life, in the sense that relates to our own marriage, we often find we have sought, like Jacob, worked hard for that ideal, as we like to call it, which is really something very real. It's called love truly conjugal. And we've worked for it, it is our goal, and yet, after several years of working, it doesn't mean the next day like with Jacob, but after several years of working, we find Leah instead of Rachel. Or a wife finds she's Leah in relation to her husband instead of Rachel, which means that the marriage has not progressed as deeply and as quickly as we wish it would. This is something that happens. This is something for a reason. And the reason is, in the internal sense, because of what Laban, the father of Leah and Rachel, represents. Laban represents what is good. It's called good that's parallel, or comes from a common stock. It comes from the Lord, but unlike the good represented by the direct lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this lineage is Nahor, Bethuel, and Laban. And it represents good that is mixed. Good that has other motives in it. Some of them perhaps a little bit selfish, some of them worldly, some of them impatient, for many, many different things. This is the good that we come to marriage with. We don't come to marriage with pure good from the Lord. All of us have these goods that come from this common stock. There's good within it. Leah is Laban's daughter. She represents the affection of external truth. This isn't bad, but it has in it mixed motives. A lot of the advice we get from the world, or even from our parents, and a lot of other things that we read, and sometimes even from reading the letter of the word without enlightenment, we have these goods that are mixed. And as a consequence, we cannot enter directly into love truly conjugal. We are going to be, as you might say, blurred in our vision. Our vision will not see the details. We know that we should love our spouse, but we still do not know how. And we can make an error, and this is one of the problems of the next 7 years of labor. We can make an error in thinking that it is how means what we do. What is it that I need to do next to get her to love me? What is it that I need? What task do I have to do? And it's keep going back and forth, trying to figure out some technique, perhaps. Or we go desperately to some other book outside of the Word, looking for some way to make it happen. These are the blurred vision of Leah. They're not with bad intention. The intention is to have a good marriage. The intention is to love your wife or your husband. But they don't know how. And so, all of us find ourselves in this way, in one way or another. It might also be in other loves that were mentioned in the reading. We see the poor around us. We want to help the poor. And so We see a thing to donate to, and we donate to it, and we feel we're helping the poor, and we want to show we help the poor. But not sometimes for others, often for just the feeling that we're doing something because we feel the misery of those around us. But in doing so, we may not be doing so. Not with any bad intention, just simply because we can be brought this way or that, as it talked about, the man in external truth, can be swayed very easily, more easily than the man in internal truth, to give to some cause or another because his heart has been pulled upon by somebody who could be rather deceptive. And so although we know that we should love the neighbor, we don't know how. And this is the kind of thing in marriage as well. We know that we should love our spouse. We want to be loved in return, but we don't know how. And yet the word is full of truths. If we have, and notice the first initial affection is not for Leah. In a way, Jacob never worked for Leah. He always worked for Rachel. He moved the stone off the well because of his love for Rachel. And why was that? Because he wanted that heavenly joy, that heavenly bliss. It was mixed up with some selfish motives, some ideas of natural pleasure and so on, but still it was something good. And so he works for that love. It says in that she was shepherding because of what this represents. It says the affection of internal truth teaches. And from this affection, the affection for internal truth, not external truth, but internal truth, it says, is the church. And it is also from this that a pastor is a pastor. It is his affection for heavenly truths that makes the church. And so in seeking these, we can often try to find them in externals, looking for what we might call practical, which is often impractical. And instead of that, we shouldn't seek for just external methods or this or that. What we should really be seeking for is eternal truths. As a matter of fact, that very word, eternity, is one of those key things that the word teaches us, especially in the heavenly doctrine, and a little bit where it says, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder, and that the kingdom of heaven is like a marriage. It teaches us that marriage is eternal. Just that truth may look like some universal, and yet it adds into everything we do. It adds a detail that gives it life from the Lord. And another one, which the heavenly doctrine speaks of over and over again, and so does the letter of the word. Very little about marriage, directly about marriage in the letter of the word. But there's one commandment, which says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the Lord, when he came into the world, because for the Jewish church, that simply meant, do not take a married woman. It didn't mean don't take another woman. It meant don't take a married woman. That's how blurred their vision was. But when the Lord came into the world, he clarified that and said, he who looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery in his heart. And the heavenly doctrine adds even more detail to this. When they translate that phrase, they always add one or another extra word. They say, he who looks at another woman commits with lust is committing adultery in his heart. Someone other than his wife. And that other woman can even be seen before marriage. If he's interested in her merely physically, but doesn't see her as his wife, then she is the woman of another, which is also the way the writings add it. They say, do not take, look at a woman with lust, at the woman of another. In other words, only love the woman you're going to be married to. That is the detail that the heavenly doctrines add even further. And so, if we really want and love to have a spiritual marriage, then that love for Rachel will open the well. And we will go to the Word, because as the teaching said, it is only from the Word that these spiritual truths can be found. That is, such as the good is the neighbor. What a general thing that sounds like, to know that good is the neighbor. But then let's ask ourselves, when we're about to do something for the neighbor, we need to ask ourselves, is this really good? And all those different teachings that come to mind, all those details of what is really good, the Lord then enlightens us. And it isn't just so that we can feel better. We see, no, that's not really good. It isn't just for instance, that we're just going to put food on their table and leave. The next day they're hungry again. And we have another detail that comes out of the New Testament, which says the golden rule, to do to others as you would have them do to you. That is a detail that the Lord gave that a man who truly wants spiritual good can see. And so when we're working with our husband or wife, we ask ourselves, is this what I would want them to do to me? At first it sounds like just a general, but really it is a very clear specific, because it looks at what you're about to do and analyzes it in the light of a heavenly truth, a spiritual truth. And this gives that affection for that spiritual truth. Again, it is important to realize this is always what Jacob worked for. He always worked for Rachel. And so too, we can be led astray in the beginning, but that doesn't mean we need to be continually led astray. Now, it's very important to realize that in the literal sense, Jacob kept Leah. He did not leave Leah. And in the same way, in history, the Lord has never left any church. When the Jewish church rejected him, they left him. He did not leave them, and he is still with them today. When the Christian church rejected him, dividing him into three persons, not seeing clearly who he was, with that blurred vision, the Lord has never left them. He is still with them. And so we don't find that Leah is left behind. Instead, we find that Leah is kept. But he loves Rachel. And what that really means is not that the Lord loves someone more than the other. What that means is those who can receive spiritual truths can actually not only know that they should love the Lord and worship him, but they know how to worship him. And what is amazing is what this means is that we don't have to change often what we're doing. We could be helping a poor family. We could be giving them food or helping them find a job or something like this. We don't have to say, no, these are externals. I have to stop these. All I need is internals. The very same form can continue. In our marriage, if we have a habit of giving flowers to our wife, or the wife has a habit of making a special meal for her husband, doesn't mean she has to stop because those were Leah things. She was trying to express her love, or he was trying to express his love, but he has to see what is the good within it. And he can do the same very thing, and yet it doesn't change. The internal changes while the external remains the same. And the very thing which was trying to show that you love actually becomes how you love. The act could be the same, but it's what's inside that changes. We have a teaching here in the Heavenly Doctrine about worshiping God. Because remember that Leah is like knowing that we should worship God, but Rachel is knowing how to worship God. We have a teaching that shows us how worship, which might feel dead for us, can become alive. And it shows us that the forms don't change, but something else inside does. It's in relation to the Church of Sardis. And the words, "and strengthen these things that are ready to die," signifies so that the things that pertain to their worship may accept life and not be extinguished. How these things are to be understood shall be stated. Dead worship is in external form absolutely like living worship. For those who are in truths do similar things. For they listen to sermons, they go to Holy Supper, say prayers kneeling morning and evening, besides the rest of the things of worship, which are in common with others and customary or traditional. Those, therefore, who are in dead worship have need of no more than to learn truths and live them. In other words, listen in worship for truths they can use in their life from the Lord. In this way, they are strengthened the things that are remaining that are ready to die. In other words, the worship service didn't change. But what changed was the heart and the mind of the person who comes to worship. They are looking for details from the Lord that they can use in their life rather than simply feeling that they need to love and trying to find some way that they feel they love. They actually go and they find things that they can use in their life, because we know from the Heavenly Doctrine and we also know from our recitation that loving the Lord is doing those things he commands. Internal worship takes place most of our life. Right now, in many ways, is external worship. But internal worship commences when we use these particular truths we have learned and we put them into our life in our day-to-day, finding a way to look for that good in the neighbor, finding a way to look for genuine conjugal love, keeping thoughts of others, especially with the wrong type of affection, out of our mind, and looking for what is eternal that will build to a heavenly marriage with our partner. And so many other spiritual truths that we can find in the Word, sometimes in the letter, more often in the heavenly doctrine. And so when we pick up one of the heavenly doctrines, what an amazing thing we have. We have a book of singulars, a book that tells us on every page how to love the neighbor, how to worship the Lord, how to love our spouse, how to love our children, how to do all of the spiritual things we can in our life today. Instead of opening it and seeing a bunch of spiritual ideals that seem unattainable, each one of those can become a detail so that the blurry eyes of Lee are no longer there, but instead the beautiful form and beautiful appearance of Rachel. That internal affection for truth, which makes the church a church. Now to the one only God of heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, be glory and dominion forever.